Welcome to Coffee with Craft.
Welcome back to the Coffee with Craft podcast. I'm your host, Craft, and today my guest is a public speaker, a podcaster, an entrepreneur. He has spoken to thousands of people. Excuse me. He helps coach thousands of up-and-coming speakers as well, and his new book, The Successful Speaker, seeks to help even more people. My guest today is Grant Baldwin. Grant, how you doing, man?
Eric, do you like to be called Eric or Craft?
So Craft is what my friends call me, so you can call me Craft.
I'm calling you Craft then. All right, Craft, I'm doing delightful, man. Thanks for letting me hang out with you.
Of course, man. So Grant, I know you because I've been kind of following you for the past couple years here. I've followed the Speaker Lab. I listen to your podcast. It's awesome. Excited for this new book. But I know there's probably people who don't know you or haven't connected with you online yet. So I'm just kind of curious if you could kind of walk us through what is your origin story? Tell us about who you are, where you come from, and why you're so passionate about helping public speakers today.
Yeah. So if we go back in time, so back when I was in high school, I was really involved in my local church. My youth pastor had a big impact in my life, and I was like, I want to do that. Like, that seems like a cool gig. And maybe you are, you know, kind of a similar situation or similar story. That's the kind of the path I was on and the path I wanted to be on. So I went to a Bible college and then worked at a local church where I had a lot of opportunities to speak, obviously, as you well know, and was kind of in the trenches of that. And definitely having a lot of reps like that helped me to get better as a speaker. I got to speak on the weekend from time to time, would fill in and for the lead pastor. And so speaking was one of those things I just really enjoyed and wanted to do more of. And so after my wife and I left the church that we were at, I decided, like, all right, I want to go all in on the speaking thing. I want to do this. But just like, I was in the spot where a lot of people that we work with today are, and that I was interested in speaking. I love speaking, wanted to do more of it. No idea what to do from there. Like, how do you book a gig, and how do you know how much to charge, and who hires speakers, and what do you talk about? And like, how does this world work? And so, so I stalked a couple other speakers, like learned the business, and started booking some of my own gigs. And so for the next couple of years, like just built up the business of being a speaker. And so I was doing 60, 70 gigs a year. And it was great. I absolutely loved it. And then had a lot of people who were asking me, like, hey, how do I become a speaker? Like, if I wanted to do that, what do I need to do? So then we started doing some teaching and training and coaching around that. And as that started to kind of take off, then I was decreasing the amount of speaking that I was actually doing. And so today I do a little bit of speaking, but the bulk of what we do is what you mentioned. We run the Speaker Lab, which is a training company for public speakers, where we teach people how to find and book gigs and all the ins and outs of that world. So it's really, really fun, really enjoyable, and speaking is a great way to make an impact but also make an income.
Man, that's awesome. That's really, really good stuff. And so you in this process also have a new book coming out, The Successful Speaker. Can you just give us some insights on, like, who is this book for? Why is this book important? What drove you to kind of write this book? Because you've been doing a lot of stuff with helping speakers, you know, through just your podcast. Like, I know that every time I listen to your podcast, I, as a public speaker, learn something new from that. And you definitely have the coaching platform. But why write the book?
Yeah. So when I was doing a lot of speaking, a lot of it was with students. So like I mentioned, I used to be a youth pastor, then was doing a lot of speaking in schools and like student leadership conferences and events. And so I had written I'd written a book for students. I'd self-published it and I had written every single word of it. And so I felt like, from a bucket list perspective, like, okay, check the box, I wrote a book. And so I felt good about that. So I didn't necessarily like, writing isn't my favorite thing to do. I think I'm okay at it. But I'm not just like, man, I want to write a book. I want to write 1,000 books. And I know there's people that are wired like that. I'm just not wired like that. And so it wasn't necessarily on my radar. I had a friend who said, hey, do you have any interest in writing a book? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. Like, I can definitely 100% see the value of doing it and see the value of how it would help the business. I was just kind of like, there's other things that could do that as well that I'm potentially more intrigued by. And so so basically we kind of worked it out where we were going to work together on this project, work together on the book. And so for in terms of like who it is for, there's a lot of people who are interested in speaking full time, but I certainly recognize and realize like that's not everybody. There's also a lot of people who would say, I don't want to speak full time. You know, maybe like for yourself, Craft, you're like, I got a good gig going. I like what I do, but I wouldn't mind speaking at, I don't know, 5 things a year, 10 things a year, you know, maybe some weekend services or camps or retreats or whatever. And I just don't know, how do you actually book those gigs and how do I get started? What do I need to do? And I think there's a lot of people like that, that like, I don't want to speak full time. I don't want to do 70 gigs. That sounds like way too many, but I'd love to do 3 3 gigs, 5 gigs, something like that. And I'm just trying to figure out the ins and outs of how to actually go about doing that. So for those who are interested in speaking at all, it's going to walk through, the book is going to walk through exactly what you need to do. So again, the book is called The Successful Speaker, 5 Steps for Booking Gigs, Getting Paid, and Building Your Platform. And even for people who are like, all right, I don't necessarily need to get paid to be a speaker, but I'm doing some speaking. I teach a Sunday school class, or I speak at something at work, or I'm, leading some meetings from time to time. Like, what are some public speaking strategies or tips or tactics? Like, that's in there as well. So if you are involved in public speaking at all, and especially if you want to be paid to speak, then the book will give you some resources and tools on how to do that.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, super excited for the book. I can't wait to buy it myself. I kind of wanted to also, while I have you on the show, selfishly, I'm an up-and-coming speaker, trying to grow that side of my business as well, and really work on that. I got my first paid speaking gig this past year. I've already got one booked for 2020. Super psyched.
Nice,
excited,
man,
for that. But I'm new. Yeah. I'm new to this game. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And I know I got a couple friends who are listening to this podcast who are new to this game as well. And so I'm just curious, what's your biggest piece of advice when it comes to new speakers and engaging with building their business?
Yeah. So when it comes to that, I think so in the book, we basically will walk through what we call the Speaker Success Roadmap. This is a 5-step process that makes the acronym SPEAK, S-P-E-A-K. And so I'll give you kind of the high level view, and then we can dig into it a little bit more if you want. So the first one, S, is select a problem to solve. Select a problem to solve. So this is where you get clear on who you speak to and what do you speak about. The P is prepare your talk. So this is where you're thinking through like the presentation, storytelling, presentation skills. So we get into the nuts and bolts of that. The E is establish yourself as the expert. So this is where your marketing materials, your marketing assets are really important, to let other people know that this is what it is. This is what you do. The A is acquire paid speaking gigs. Acquire paid speaking gigs. So we walk through a process of how do you actually find and book gigs. And then the K is know when to scale. So for a lot of people interested in speaking, but maybe also interested in writing a book or doing a course or coaching or consulting or any number of other things. The biggest part, though, is this really goes sequentially, is you got to spend the time to get the first part right, the S, select a problem to solve.
Yeah.
Because the challenge for a lot of speakers is that, like, I like speaking. I want to do more speaking. So who do I speak to? I speak to everybody. I speak to humans. I speak to people. And what do I speak about? I don't know. What do you want me to speak about? I can speak about anything, right? And if you try to do that, then we think like, okay, spreading the net as far and wide as possible is actually effective. Whereas the opposite is actually the case. Like, the more narrow, the more focused, the more clear you are, the easier it is to actually book gigs. So one thing, Kraft, you may have heard us say before is, you want to be the steakhouse and not the buffet.
Yeah.
Be the steakhouse and not the buffet. And what we mean by that is, if you and I were going to lunch, we were looking for a good steak, like, we got a choice. We could go to a buffet where steak is one of 100 different things that they offer and they're all mediocre, or we could go to a steakhouse where, like, that's all they do. Like, they do one thing and they do it really, really well, instead of trying to be all things for all people. So the speaker who says, like, I speak on anything and everything, and I speak to humans, I speak to everybody. Like, the reality is like, you don't speak to anybody about anything. So the more narrow, the more clear, the more focused you are, the easier it is to find gigs. So that's the part that a lot of people have a tough time with and struggle with at the beginning, is just getting clear, getting that focus. Because once you get the focus, then the next couple steps actually become easier because you're clear on where you're going versus like, I'm still trying to do all these things for everybody.
Man, that's really, really good stuff. I love that analogy. Be the steakhouse, not the buffet. Like, that's so good. So would you say that that's probably the biggest mistake you see speakers make, is that they go too broad too quickly, as opposed to just really narrowing down and figuring that out?
Totally. So, okay, let's take, for example, like in your current gig, you're a youth pastor, right?
Right.
So you work with primarily high school students, or
high school and middle school.
Okay, cool. So if you were hired and it's like, okay, we want you to do elementary, we want you to do preschool, we want you to do middle school, we want you to do junior high, we need you to do college, and we need you to do some young adult stuff. It's like, and that's a vastly different group of people,
right,
from a kindergartner to a 20-something who's in the, their first career. Like, those are just two different ends of the spectrum. Even like a sixth grader and a senior in high school are just different phases of life, right? So the more that you try to speak to all of those people, the more you're not going to reach any of them, right? Mm-hmm. Versus if you said, I just focus on this one particular thing. The challenge, though, is a lot of times we assume like, okay, but even if I double down, like in your case, if I double down on high school students, but I could also do stuff for middle school students, or I could also do stuff for elementary, or I could also do stuff for college. Like, I get that, but being a specialist rather than a generalist is actually easier to get gigs. So I'll give you another example. Let's imagine, God forbid, that you needed to have brain surgery. All right. So you got a choice. You can go to like your local family medical doctor who is a doctor. They went to medical school. They probably took some classes on surgery. They probably know a little bit more than you or I about the brain, right? So hypothetically, they could do brain surgery. Or you could go to the person like, brain surgery is all I do. Like day in and day out, that's all I do. And I am the best at it, right? Like that's the guy that I want cutting me open. Like that's the guy that I want working on me. Because it's not just kind of like, yeah, we'll figure it out. You know, like I don't want that person. In the same way that like, as a speaker, if you say, sure, I could probably speak to that audience, or sure, I could probably come up with a talk on that topic. Like, I don't want that person. Like, I want the person that like, no, I am the steakhouse on this. If you want something else, that's fine. Like, if you're looking for tacos, if you're looking for spaghetti, if you're looking for lasagna, let me tell you this great Italian place down the street. But if you're looking for steak, this is the go-to place. Like, that's what you want to be as the speaker.
Man, that's so, so good. Because I know, like, even for me, it's so tempting, even as a writer and a speaker, to like want to be so general and broad.
Yeah.
And hear that advice of like, man, just write about whatever you're feeling that day. But then I'm not growing a consistent audience. And so I think what's super huge for me, even hearing that, is like, it's good to be specialized, because then you grow the type of audience that you're looking to actually grow, and you can go deeper quicker than you can with such a wide net.
Okay, so let me give another example. So think about you follow, you know, some of our work. You follow the Speaker Lab. You're familiar with us. And part of that is because all we primarily talk about is speaking.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of other ancillary topics that we could potentially talk about. I know a lot of people that are interested in speaking are also interested in writing a book or in coaching or consulting or doing a course or doing a podcast or doing all these other things. I've done over 400 podcast episodes. We probably could teach something about podcasting, right? But I know that the more things that we try to do, the more the outside audience is kind of like, what does Grant do? Like, I think he does some speaking stuff, and I think he does some writing stuff, and I think he does some podcasting stuff, and I think he just speaks on and teaches on like all these things. And so, like, think about some of the entrepreneurs that like you look up to, you admire, you respect, you follow. Like, a lot of them are like, I do this one thing and I do this really well, versus like, I don't really know what they do, you know, and I'm not really sure what they're up to. And so realize too that you can expand that over time. Like, you can do more things over time and broaden the spectrum, but starting narrow, starting focused, starting like on this one specific thing is actually easier. So I'll give you a couple examples. Take someone like, are you familiar with like a Gary Vaynerchuk?
Oh, Gary, yes.
All right. So Gary V is like, you know, he speaks on a variety of different things, right? And, you know, social media and marketing and hustle and all this stuff, right? Gary got his start focused on one very specific little niche. Do you remember what it was several years ago?
Wine.
Wine, yeah. Right? That was it. All he was all in on wine, right? And so he's like, all right, I'm going to do everything related to wine, and now it's going to broaden, and now it's going to broaden, and now it's going to, but like, I'm going to start on this one specific thing. I'll give you another example. Nike. Today, Nike sells anything and everything, right? Anything they can put a swoosh on, they'll do. Sporting goods, apparel, all types of things Nike does. They are a multi-billion-dollar company. But they got their start selling a very specific type of track shoe for collegiate long-distance runners. Like, that's what they created, was a very specific shoe for a very specific person. So it wasn't like, okay, we're going to create this kind of track, and then we're going to create another type of track shoe for a different type of runner, and then we're going to create like an everyday running shoe, and then we're going to create a basketball shoe, and then we're going to create – no, it's like, we're going to create this one specific shoe. And then, yeah, over time, we might start to add some other things. So don't feel like, okay, if you decided today, all right, I'm going to focus on speaking to high school students. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like, all right, that's it. I made my decision. It's a tattoo. I got to do it forever. Like, no, you don't. Like, you can pivot. You can adjust. You can change. But, like, folks, like, starting by, like, all right, here's my starting point. Here's what I'm going to focus on. And then over time, if I pivot, if I adjust, if I could do something different, that's fine. But, like, let's get a starting point here that we can get things in motion. So another way to think about this would be, it is much easier to steer a car that is in motion versus a car that is in park. Even a car that's moving like 5 miles an hour, like you can steer that, right? You try steering a car that's in park, like it's not going anywhere. So if we can just say like, okay, I'm going to focus on speaking to students and like, let's get the car in motion. And then you decide, actually, like I'm getting a lot more opportunities speaking to college students or speaking to this audience or speaking on that topic or speaking in this setting, right? Then I can kind of pivot and move. But like sitting on the sideline, like just overanalyzing and second guessing, and should I speak to these people or should I speak to those people? Like you're not going to get anywhere doing that. So just like picking a starting point and moving the ball forward and then adjusting accordingly.
Man, that's so good. So I want to keep walking through this because I'm enjoying this conversation. Yeah. So you narrow down your audience, right? You got what you're doing. And let's say for me, I narrow down my audience. Like I want to speak to students on faith or something like that nature, right?
Yep.
And so I'm narrowing that topic down and I'm working on trying to get speaking gigs, but then I get an offer to do something for free. Is it wrong for speakers when they're starting out or even later down in their career to do pro bono work? Is that going to hurt your audience? Is that going to hinder what you do? Does that make you seem less professional than you actually are?
Yeah, great question. So I think speaking for free can get a bad rap. Like a lot of times we assume it's a negative thing. Mm. What I would say to that is speaking for free is okay as long as you know why you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
So don't just do this out of the goodness of your heart, right? You're running a business, so it's okay to charge for the value that you're bringing to the table, okay? You're delivering value, you need to receive value in exchange for that. Now, having said that, that value can come in a lot of different ways. So let's talk about some ways that it might make sense for you to speak for free. One of those would be the way that you become a better speaker is that you speak. So maybe for you, you're just like, I just need some reps. I just need some at-bats, right? Now, my guess is like for you in your specific situation as a youth pastor, you're probably getting a decent number of reps. You know, you get to speak once or twice a week, which is unusual. Like that's not the case for a lot of people not in that type of position. So you may feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm a pretty decent speaker. Another factor where it may make sense to speak for free is lead generation. So let's say you offer some type of product or coaching or consulting or book or something like on the back end. Like, all right, I know if I go speak at something and I'm going to generate some clients or some back end revenue on that it may be worth it to me to speak for free. So, because I actually may make more from that part than what I would get paid to do that. Okay. So that's an option. Another option would be depending who the audience is. If it's an audience where other potential decision makers would be. So for example, let's say for you, you were like, hey, I'm interested in speaking to schools and speaking to students. And there's some type of like, you know, you're in Cincinnati. And so there's, you know, the Ohio, some type of state leadership conference, and they want you to come speak for free. And you know, like there's a bunch of students there, there's a bunch of principals or youth pastors or contacts there that may be interested in having you come speak at their school or their church or something like that. In that case, it could be worth it for you to go speak for free, knowing that, man, if I go speak for free at that and I generate, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 bookings out of that, sheesh, that was totally worth it, right? So there's a few different reasons there. Like maybe another one is just travel. You know, if you're going to a cool spot, I have said all along, and my wife has said for me, like, hey, Grant is willing to speak for free in Hawaii if you fly the whole family out there, right? Like that's value for me, right?
Right.
But again, the point being, like if you're running a bakery and you're selling cupcakes, you can't just say like, man, I'm just gonna give my cupcakes to everyone because I just love cupcakes and love people. Like before long, like you're not gonna have any money to make anybody cupcakes. So you can't just say like, I'm just gonna speak for free just for everyone just because I like speaking. Like that doesn't work. But it's also okay to say, okay, I'm going to, like even today, this deep into my career, this deep into my speaking business, there's still times where I will speak for free for strategic reasons. But again, it's not just like, yeah, sure, I'll speak for free. No. Like I'm providing a service, I'm providing something of value. So I need to get something of value in return. That may not always mean that I got a check or I didn't get a check. It may be other ways that I get value from that. So speaking for free is okay as long as you know why you're doing it.
Man, that's awesome. That's good stuff. It's almost as if you really want your speaking business to grow, you have to actually view it as a business, which I think
100%.
is so hard for people who don't have entrepreneurial tendencies or have never been taught that skill set.
Yeah.
And so it's a mind shift change a lot of the times, I think.
Yeah. There's a lot of speakers I know that are really, really good on stage and they suck at running a business. And the reality is like, and again, this isn't true for just speakers. This is true in a lot of different ways. So let's go back to like the cupcake bakery analogy, right?
Yeah.
Creating really, really, really good cupcakes and running a bakery are two different skill sets. right?
Absolutely.
Selling your cupcakes is a different skill set. You can make the best cupcakes, but if nobody knows you exist, like you're not in business, right? And so you have to recognize and have to realize, like, yeah, part of what you're doing is you have to be able to sell yourself. Like you, and that's something that most people like aren't comfortable with. And it's something that is like, okay, I get that, right? But it also is just kind of like, well, I don't want to tell anybody about my cupcakes. Like, all right, then you don't have a business. Like, you got a hobby, and that's fine if that's what it is. Like, if you're just like, I'm just kind of kicking the tires on this. I just want to make cupcakes for my neighbors and for my friends and what. That's fine. Just do that. But don't expect it to be like, why am I not getting these big results in my cupcake business? You know, but I'm just sitting on the sideline hoping that it magically works out. It's no different for a speaker or any type of business. Like, your job is to sell yourself as a speaker and to let other people know, like, here's how. And again, it's not like we think sales has like this negative connotation and like this negative thing. But I know, like, for example, all right, so we have this, you know, you mentioned this new book that we have coming out, The Successful Speaker. I know for you, you're someone that's interested in speaking. And so I created this product that, like, dude, if you're serious about speaking, like, this book will help you. You know, this is what you need, you know? So I'm not necessarily selling. I'm providing a solution to a problem that you have. Like, I'm looking for help with speaking. This is perfect, right? So I'm helping solve that need for you. But because I've created something of value, like, I want value in return for that. And it's no different for you, like, as a speaker, of saying, like, I need value for that. So the other part that is hard is because you and I, we like speaking. Speaking is just fun. It's just like, man, if I was independently wealthy, I'd do this for free. I just enjoy doing it. Then it's hard for us to say no to an opportunity. Mm. Right. But again, if you're running a business, then you have to be able to say, like, man, one of the hardest things for a speaker to do is to say no.
Yeah.
And there are times where you get invited to it and they don't have a budget and there's no, and like, it does not make any sense for you to do it. And you'd be like, you have to be like, I just can't, you know?
Right.
Especially like, and I don't know this, your situation, but like, if you're, you know, if you're a youth pastor and like, I've only got a couple of weekends a year that I can be gone from my church. Like, my lead pastor expects me to be here. Part of my role is to be here. Like, I can't be gone. I got to be real, real, real selective about what other outside gigs I'm going to do. Then that means there's going to be times where maybe you have to say no. And that's okay. Like, that's part of it. There's a potential client I talked to the other day, and we had a good conversation. Seemed like a cool event. And I'm just like, we can't make it work. And that's fine. Like, it's a bummer. I'm happy to recommend and refer him to some other people that would be a better fit. But, I gotta say no, you know? And there's nothing, not a knock against him. It's not a knock against me. It's just, like, you're running a business. So you have to say no when it doesn't make sense.
Man, that's super huge. Like, just the idea of, like, it's okay to say no. Cause especially, you know, I think in any sphere, like, for most people, it's like, oh, I want to be the nice guy. I don't want to be the guy who's difficult to work with. I don't want to be the guy who says no right off the bat. And so, I don't know. I've appreciated even like hearing on this topic from like John Acuff, who has talked about ways to say no. And he always asks that first question, like, if immediately someone asks you to work for free, just ask, hey, what's your budget? And that's been like a good mindset shift for me of like, man, if I at least put the ball back in their court and see if they're willing to pay something, that actually might lead to even more opportunity. So it's just, it's cool how all that connects.
Yeah, totally. And so, you know, people are like, well, you're going to get really good exposure, or you're going to make really good connections, or you're going to really, you know, it's going to open a lot of doors for you. It's like, okay. In one way, like, I don't want to discount that.
Right.
Cause I think there is cases where that's true. What's important though, is you have to know it's true for you, what you're trying to accomplish, not just because an event planner said so, and that because they want you to come for free. You have to recognize, like, there are absolutely events that I would go speak at for free. Cause I know, like, there is legit exposure. I'm going to generate, you know, great contacts or great connections and great sales opportunities from that. And I know that that's true, not because they told me that that's true.
Right.
So there's that side of it that you have to be comfortable and confident in of what it is that you're trying to accomplish. The other part I was going to say was, like, when it comes to people that would say, or event planners or whoever, that is like, hey, you know, you're going to get really good exposure. It's like, that's great. But like my mortgage company doesn't take exposure as payment. You know,
the
electricity company, like, oh man, can I pay you an exposure this month? I'll get back to you next. Like, that doesn't work, you know?
Right.
So, I gotta receive value for the value that I'm bringing.
No, absolutely. So I kind of want to shift gears here for a minute on the last leg of the show. So you're a public speaker. You get to the stage. You got a paid gig. It's awesome. And you get on stage. What's the biggest piece of advice for a speaker when they step on the stage?
So I would say the biggest thing is before you get on stage is make sure that you are prepared, that you have done the work. Because the best speakers in the world, the speakers we look up to, we admire, we respect, they don't just like scribble a couple of ideas on a napkin and like, I'm just going to get up and wing it. Like they have spent hours and hours and hours practicing and rehearsing. You mentioned like John Acuff. John's a good friend and I've known John for several years and he is a phenomenal speaker. But I also know John spends a crap load of time that nobody sees working on the craft of his talk, working on his presentations, working on the messaging, right? Well, he works on those things. So when you get on stage, like John's one of the best speakers I've seen, but it's also because John has put the work in and that like he's talented. He's naturally gifted, naturally talented. He's a very funny guy, but he also puts in so much work that nobody talks about or nobody recognizes. Right. And so when John gets on stage, he kills it, but it's the work that you didn't see before he got on the stage that made all the difference in the world. Right. So, can you be like naturally charismatic and naturally funny and naturally a good storyteller? Yeah, that's all fine. But that's only going to carry you so far. So the work that you put in that nobody sees is ultimately what will determine your success on stage. So a good example of this is go watch the documentary on Netflix called Comedian. It's by Jerry Seinfeld. And basically the premise is Seinfeld is he's traveling around. He's working on material for his upcoming comedy special. And so it shows him like in these small little clubs and he's trying material. He's scribbling notes. He's bombing most of the time. He's telling a joke. It's not funny. Right. And he's making a note. He's starting to tell a joke and he forgets the punchline and he just loses his train of thought. And so like you think of like, okay, you watch Seinfeld or some comedian and you think like, oh, they just got up on stage and there's some video cameras there and he was just funny. It's like, no. Like there's a lot that went on that you did not see that led to like, this is the finished product that you get. So much of your success as a speaker of what happens on stage has to do with what happened off stage, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing is, and again, this isn't exclusive to just speaking. Like this is true in anything. You know, you take some of the best athletes and professional athletes that we look up to, we admire, we respect. It's like, oh, they're just naturally good. And like, yeah, sure, they may have some natural. LeBron has like the size and athleticism that you and I were not born with, right? But he also spends a crap load of time, you know, working in the gym and working on his skill, working on his craft that led to, you see, I use your name there, led to him being one of the greatest athletes like we've ever seen. Right.
Right.
So there's so much that goes in behind the scenes that we just assume like, oh, he just knows how to dribble a basketball. Like, yeah, but there's also a lot more to that that he does behind the scenes that, you know, we don't see. So much of your success as a speaker on stage has to do with the work and the preparation you put in off stage.
Man, that's so good. I'm reminded always that if it were easy, everyone could do it.
100%.
You know, if it was easy, they'd send a dog with a note.
Yep.
Totally. So it's so good. Such good stuff, man. Hey, when does The Successful Speaker come out and where can people buy it?
Yeah, the book is going to be out February the 18th, 2020. So depending on when people are listening to it, hopefully it'll be quickly and soon. People can pre-order it over at, if they're listening to it before it comes out, thespeakerlab.com/book. thespeakerlab.com/book. In fact, we got several pre-order bonuses there. If you pre-order the book, we will give you the audiobook for free. So among other bonuses that exist there. So a lot of things we want to do to incentivize you to get you to pre-order. So yeah, if you're interested at all in either speaking a bunch or speaking a couple times, then The Successful Speaker is the book that you need to get.
Awesome. And then Grant, if people want to find you on social media or anywhere else, where is the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, on social media, I'm Grant Baldwin pretty much anywhere. I think on Instagram, it's G Baldwin. But for those that are interested like in what we've talked about today and the speaking stuff, pretty much everything we do is over at thespeakerlab.com. Thespeakerlab.com. We've got if you like this podcast, then you, feel free to check out our podcast, The Speaker Lab Podcast. We've got a YouTube channel, different blog posts, different resources and tools for anybody at any stage of speaking. So, yeah, lots of stuff over at thespeakerlab.com.
Awesome. Well, Grant, I just want to say thank you once again for being on the show, man. Super appreciative of you and the work you're doing. Excited for the new book. And thank you to the person listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you'll join us next time on the Coffee with Craft podcast. I'll see you around.